I think it's very unfortunate that the governor did this. It kind of plays to the notion that refugees equal terrorism, which is not true. We've had various terrorist incidents over the years, none of them perpetrated by refugees. These are desperate people fleeing a desperate situation. So I guess in the first instance, we need to stem the flow of refugees by trying to get an agreement to halt the fighting and the killing and the destruction in Syria. And then there are other propositions to create safe havens where people might stay around the periphery of that country in the Middle East and so on. It's a large issue. But whether the United States does its part in helping give refuge to people fleeing that situation, I don't think there's any question our country should do its part. And I also think that it's fine for elected officials like Governor McCrory to assure themselves that we are doing appropriate vetting for people who try to come here. And I think when they take a look at that, they'll find that the vetting is the most thorough we've ever given to any group of people entering this country. And that's what I said last week, that it's one thing to take precautions and to make sure that we're keeping our own people safe. Of course we have to do that. But once we've established these procedures, and it's a many multi-step, multi-agency procedure, it takes 18 months at least, and these are mainly women and children in the first place. But once you're assured that those procedures are in place, I would think you'd want to validate that, not to continue to stir up anxiety and fear.
It sounded like the governor was most concerned. He was saying that the state doesn't receive a lot of that information from the federal government. Can you shed some light on that from the federal side of this as far as the vetting process, and then what, if any, information is shared with the states that house the refugees?
Well, I don't know in detail what the governor's communications look like. If he says he hasn't been communicated with, then it seems to me he has some responsibility to fix that, and so does the federal government. My understanding is that the governors have been put in the loop now, if they weren't before, and that there's no reason for anybody to have any questions about what these procedures look like. I think, essentially, they've had the same briefings we have about the process that's in place. They're free to ask questions about that, to object if they think it's inadequate. But, like I say, once it's been established, and I really do think a close look at this is reassuring. I've taken this close look, and others have as well. I've done it from the vantage point of my Homeland Security Appropriations Subcommittee. I think it's reassuring that our country is taking every precaution here. And it's also misleading, I think, though, to think that the refugees are the heart of the terrorist threat in any case. Now, if you want to get worried about something, you can worry about people who have European passports who may have been to Syria or other war zones lately, and then don't get appropriately checked because of visa waiver programs and so forth. I mean, there are some things to worry about. But I would think refugees, these women and children fleeing this desperate situation, that would be one of the least dangerous groups. Having said that, we should vet them, and we are vetting them.
Can you bring us up to speed on what was voted on in the House last week and where that stands? It sounds like the Senate, I know, had voted down, I believe, a similar measure about slowing the process or even bringing to a halt the process of bringing Syrian refugees into the United States?
Yes, there was a convoluted process, which I won't go into detail about, except to say that the Republicans had every chance, and we actually took them at their word at first, that they wanted to work out an agreeable and agreed-upon approach to this. That didn't happen. They pulled the plug on those discussions and ran with their own bill. On the surface, it looks all right. It simply says that the heads of the respective agencies will review these cases. As a matter of fact, a lot depends on how you interpret that personal responsibility for review. If you interpret it the way we do the review of Guantanamo Bay cases, for example, then the Secretary of Homeland Security, the FBI director, would do nothing else except personally review files. If you interpret it more liberally, the way we often do, the kind of sign-off responsibility that top officials have, then it might be workable. But there's enough ambiguity about it, and it's also unnecessary, that I thought it was not a good bill, and I voted against it. Others went the other way. As you say, there's very little chance the Senate will approve this. But still, it's part of what the governor also is a part of, I'm afraid, and that is a kind of conflating of refugees and terrorism. in the mind of many in the public, this simply reinforces it, and I think doesn't lead us toward a realistic assessment of what the threats are and what our country ought to be doing.
Now, I believe whenever I was hearing some other people talk about this, Walter Jones being one of them, talking about bringing a halt for 6 to 8 months to bringing in refugees. You said it's already almost an 18-month process, and it feels like now is a time when these people may need us the most. So what would a 6 to 8 month halt really mean logistically with all the moving parts?
Well, I think you just said it. You know, it's an already slow and cumbersome and difficult process, and this would simply grind it to a halt. And, you know, there's some chance that the House bill would grind it to a halt if you interpret it in certain ways. And my impression is that Representative Jones voted against the House bill because he thought it wasn't tough enough. So he was one of two Republicans who did that. No, this is a difficult situation for all the participating countries, but that our country would be the one to default on this and not to take even this modest number that the president has put forward. I think the current near-term goal is about 10,000, which is, of course, a very, very small percentage of the flow we're talking about here. The notion that we would default on this and would give in to these really unrealistic fears of the threat these refugees pose, I just think that's unacceptable. It's unworthy of our country.
So what's next? We were talking about the legislation likely not having a lot of legs in the Senate, but there is the vote coming up on December 11th for the continuing resolution. Is that appears to be a target date from the perspective of wanting to slow this down? Do you expect that to be brought up during that vote?
It could be. It could be. It would be very regrettable if refugee resettlement took its place in line with the Affordable Care Act and immigration reform and Planned Parenthood funding, if this became yet another instance where the Republicans decided that they were going to get their way or they were going to shut the government down. You know, it's one thing to have a legislative battle about something, even if you vigorously disagree, you have a vote and then you go on. But to think that each of these issues becomes an instance for holding the whole process hostage, it's a way of thinking that came in with the Tea Party contingent, you know, that took over the House in after the 2010 election, and that pattern seems to be continuing. I have no idea whether they will actually do this. They profess, or at least the cooler heads on the Republican side, profess not to want to keep lurching from crisis to crisis. But I certainly wouldn't rule it out.